Okay, so as I mentioned before, today we're going to start the sugya of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tevilin. And the sugya is a pretty self-contained sugya in the Gemara. On the very bottom of Daf, Lamed Dalid Amid Beis, as you all saw this morning, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa says, Ketzad Sidron, after the Gemara on the top of Lamed Dalid Amid Aleph goes through that there are four parshios in the Tevilin, and what are the four parshios in the Tevilin? It says Ketzat Sidron, what is the Seder of these four parshios in the Tefillin? Meaning, what order do we place them in the Tefillin? So the Gemara says, Kadesh Li V'haya Kiyiviyacha Miyamin. So that now we're going in order. Kadesh Li is Shemos Perikid Gimel Pasuk Beis. V'haya Kiyiviyacha Shemos Perikid Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. So it's certainly in order and right next to each other. So that's on the right side. Shema, Vahayim Shemoa, also in order. Shema Dvarim Perik Vav, Vahayim Shemoa Dvarim Perik Yud Aleph. That's me small, that's on the left side. So, Frek the Gemara Vatanya Ipcha. But didn't we have a Bryce that said the exact opposite? So, right there, what does that mean? Said what opposite? We just said that there are four factors here. There are four things floating around. So, what do you mean opposite? What? How do you translate just the words?
The psukim, they're the same. You switch the two sides. I mean, instead of saying that kadosh li v'ayikviyacha is coming from the right side, you say it's coming from the left side.
You say kadosh and v'ayikviyacha is mismal, and shema and v'ayim shemoa is miyamin. So that's the pashur reading of the Gemara. It's just let's take note of that. That there are other Rishonim may take issue with that. That how to read Vatanya Ibcha. So Amar Abaye lo kasha kan miyamino shel kare kan miyamino shel maniach. It's all a matter of whose right side it is. The guy who's putting on the tefillin or the guy who's looking at the person that's putting on the tefillin. The brisa, one brisa talks about the yamin ha-maniach. That's the first brisa. The second brisa is the yamin ha-koreh, who's looking at the maniach. So my left is your right. And therefore, va-koreh koreh kasidron, which is the one that's in the correct order from beginning to end, the way you read Hebrew from right to left. That's ha-koreh. Who's ha-koreh? The guy that's looking at you, not the guy who's actually wearing the tefillin. Any of that seem a little strange? Why would we care about the koreh? He's not the guy doing the mitzvah. Isn't that a little bit funny? That the order that the brisa formulates the seder of the tefillin should be based on the koreh? Should be based on someone who's not even wearing the tefillin, just looking at you when you're wearing the tefillin? That's a little odd. Hakoreh is Hashem? Okay, well, we'll see how we deal with it. Good. So essentially, the Gemara tells us that what the one Hakoreh is the one who writes it. It's hard to then he's going to look at. So what does he do after he writes it?
He reads it
and then puts it in the bat. Meaning. What halacha are we talking about? We're talking about a halacha of hanachas tefillin? We're talking about a halacha of making tefillin, right? Putting it in the batim. So it could be that's why hakoreh, meaning we're not focused on the maniach, because by the time he's being maniach, it's too late already. What's done is done. We're talking about how to make the tefillin in the first place. Meaning that's why this halacha was never nogea to any of you. Because you bought your tefillin, you already have them. Whoever made them. So you're just taking whatever you already have. But in terms of the person who actually made them, for him it's relevant. And how is he going to look at the tefillin? How does, you ever see open tefillin? You ever see them open? They open up from the front. The front opens up. So when you're putting them in, you're facing the front of the tefillin. So it makes sense that it should be right to left. Right? That's probably why. Rishonim give other answers. But that's, I think, the simplest shot of why we're focused on the koreh, because we're not talking about the maniach over here. We're talking about the person who's making the tefillin, who's in fact koreh. Now, Rashi's pshat over here, and what I'd like to do is, although I mentioned that there are, Rashi has a pshat, there are four kashas, we showed a mask on Rashi, we're going to have to address all four of the kashas, then we have Rabbeinu Tam, but I'm not going to go in that order exactly. What we're going to do is just see what Rashi says, see what Rabbeinu Tam says. Then I want to share with you what Rav Soloveitchik has to say about Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi and being mevarer their machlokas. And then hopefully there will still be time, we'll be able to go back to to dealing with all the kashas and Rashi and just getting all those, you know, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's to make sure we understand Rashi and how to defend Rashi from all the attacks on Rashi, especially since we all follow Rashi. So what does Rashi say? Hakore kore kesidron, says Rashi, kesedir shem ksuvin b'torah. Kesidron means the order that they're in the Torah. Muktam, muktam, umu'uchar, mu'uchar. You start at the beginning and you end at the end, and you go in order all the way through. Hilkach hadikatani la'el kadesh v'yikiviyacha miyamin. When we say kadesh v'yikiviyacha is on the right side, yeah, miyamino shel kareka amar. If you're looking at the guy wearing tefillin from your right, it should be kadesh, which is first, because as we said, that's the first one that appears in the Torah. Then v'yikiviyacha. Tahashtik shukari kedarko miyamino l'smolo v'nimtza koron kesidron. V'haditana ipcha, and the one that said that the opposite, dimashma. Kadesh vayikiviyacha mismol, that made it sound like Kadesh vayikiviyacha is on the left side. Yes, it is on the left side. The left side of who? Of the meniach, of the guy wearing it. A meniach kamar, do yamin shel korei. So it's on his left. And when we say, and Rashi doesn't spell that, but when we say that Shema vayim Shemoa is on the left, that's talking about the korei. It's on the left of the korei. But when you say it's on the Yamin, that's the Yamin of the Maniach. But there's never a discussion or a discrepancy between the two brises in terms of the order. Meaning it is Kadesh, followed by Vayu Kiviyacha, followed by Shema, followed by Vayim Shema. It's definitely in that order. And there's no discussion according to Rashi. Of course it's going to be in that order. There was never a stira about the order of the parshios. There was a stira about why we would call it the right side or the left side. The Gemara says, well, we're just talking from two different people's perspectives. I guess you could call it a stira about the order because it makes it sound like we flip these two for those two. But it's certainly in terms of the order of the last two parshios, it's clearly Kadesh and Vayikiviyacha, and then clearly Shema and Vayim Shemoa. And the whole stira was, is it 1 through 4, or is it 3, 4, 1, 2? Right? That's what we were asking when we were asking the stira, that it sounds like you're saying 3, 4, 1, 2. No. It's definitely 1, 2, 3, 4, but from the perspective of the Korei, and it's 4, 3, 2, 1 from the perspective of the Maniach. Right, that's how it turns out. But it's definitely in order. We don't jump numbers. It's definitely 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just a question 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that depends on the perspective.
So how does Rashi understand the lesson of the one?
The what? Which part?
That part where it says,
Shema mi small, right?
So I just understand that. It seems that's saying 1, 2, and then from the left you go 3, 4.
No. Mismol means it's on the left side. You're going, the whole thing's in order, but on the right side.
It says mismol from the left side. This is says mi-yamin from the right side. Sorry, 1, 2. He says mismol from the left side.
So why did it say mismol, not bismol? Okay, a good kasha maybe on Rashi, but the way Rashi understands it is that it's not starting mismol. It's starting mi-yamin.
Once you say mi-yamin, then it just continues. You don't need to say mi-small.
Good. And this is the Kasha's Rishonim Ask, right? So tell us that. Why don't you just say which one is the rightmost one, and then I'll know. Everything else follows, right? Just say which one is all the way on the left, and I'll know. Everything else precedes it. That's one of Tosfos's Kasha's in Rashi. Right? But that's how Rashi orders it. Yes.
In Rashi, the Seder on the Chasson and the Maniach are two different sets. I mean, Seder on the Chasson is talking about the guy making the
tefillin
and the
minyan. What do you mean,
Seder HaNechasan?
Yeah. Yeah. Means what's the order of the.
But it's different than
the minyan. HaNechasan
and the minyan.
Right. Right. Minyan is the maisa mitzvah of putting on the tefillin. HaNechasan is placing the parshios in the batin. That what is the order of the parshios in the batin? Right? What is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? With it, leaving out all the how he gets there and everything else. What is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? How does Rabbeinu Tam say in the end? What he flips is right, Shema and Vahaya. He flips 3 and 4. So 1, 2, there's no argument about. Rabbeinu Tam also has that he has Kadesh followed by Vayikiviyacha, but then he has Vayim Shema followed by Shema. So, and that's the Ramazim Tosos points to that Havayos Be'emtza. Rabbeinu Tam has the Vahayas are the middle parshios, and they're flanked, they're sandwiched on the two sides by the non-havayos, by the kufs, by kadesh by kadesh and shema. But the vahayas are in the middle. That's how Rabbeinu Tam has it. How does Rabbeinu Tam read our Gemara? How does Rabbeinu Tam, what does he read just in the simple translation of the Gemara? So how would you read it? Ketzat Sidron, Kadesh Levayakiv Yachem Yamin, Shema Vahim Shemoa Mi Smol, which would mean starting from the left, Shema Vahim Shema. So you're meeting in the middle. You're going Shema Vahim Shema on the right. Kadesh and Vayikiv Yach on the right, and Shema Vayim Shema coming in from the left, and that's why the Shema and the Kadesh, that's why the Vahayas meet in the middle. Because one starts from the right, the other one starts from the left, and they meet in the middle. Gemara says, Ay, Vatanya Ibcha, that they should be reversed, that they should be on the opposite sides, that Shema and Vayim Shema should start from the right, and Kadesh and Vayikiv Yach should start from the left. Says the Gemara, no, we're talking also, like Rashi said, one is from the perspective of the Maniach, one is the perspective of the guy looking at the Maniach, but at the end of the day, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam differ simply in the order of Parshios 3 and 4. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, that's Rashi, or is it 1, 2, 4, 3, that is Rabbeinu Tam? Right? That's how it all plays out. Now, as I said, before we get into the technicalities of Rashi and all the kashas on Rashi, I wanted to share with you Simon Aleph in the Sefer Shiurei HaGrid, where Salvechik has what I think is a pretty magnificent analysis of Rabbeinu Tam. And he points out that which of these two shitos needs a real raya that it's correct? Meaning, which is the logical shita? Right, Rashi's the logical shita. Why is Rashi the logical shita? It's the order of the Chumash. So, of course, that's the logical shita. So, one should take a step back and say, where did Rabbeinu Tam get this from? Where do you arrive at this idea that you're going to start on one side and start on the other side and meet in the middle? That's weird. It's a little bit strange, right? It should be in order. It's a little bit odd to start on two sides and meet in the middle. Karen Ora and other Achronim are bothered by this kasha, and the Karen Ora says, "Tzarich lomer dekach nemra halach l'moshe misina." Rabbeinu Tam must have had halach l'moshe misina like this. Does that sit well with you? So, why doesn't it sit well with you? A lot of people are making faces. Yeah.
More for the moshe misina. I don't know. I think you just need to smash it from the words. You don't even need to say it much with Tina. Like, it's not that crazy. Yeah,
you're saying Rashi makes sense misvara. Rabbeinu Tam makes sense in the words of the Gemara.
Yeah, so like,
miyamin, mismo.
And also,
much of
like, why would only Rabbeinu Tam get in our Rashi?
Like, right. Meaning, halachal moshe misina.
Usually, it's a pretty broad.
Tav machlokas rishonim whether a halachal moshe misina exists is a pretty big deal. In fact, there's even a famous comment of the Rambam in the Akadama to the Pirush HaMishnayos that you can never have any machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai. Meaning the Rambam talks about that a person should not lose confidence in the viability of our Mesorah. You know, a person could look at Judaism and say, you know, everyone has different minhagim, different practices, does this religion differently? Do we really know what we have? Do we really have a strong tradition? The Rambam says, no, that's all part of the tapestry of Torah life, that Kodesh Baruch Hu allows for Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim and the development of Torah, and it's not a reflection of the weakness in our Mesorah, and the Raya that it's not a reflection of the weakness in our Mesorah is that there's a certain segment of our Mesorah that goes untouched and unargued upon, and that is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. That you don't have arguments in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. You don't have machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. He means you don't even have machlokas tanoim or machlokas amoraim in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And here you're going to say Rishonim on such a fundamental issue are arguing about what is essentially Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Very hard to say. Now it happens to be that Rambam comes under attack anyway because there are like Chavos Yoyer as a tshuva where he has like 50 examples throughout Shas where you find, you know, arguments on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Netziv talks about it in his Hakdama to his commentary on the She'iltos. He talks about that Rambam and how it fits with, like, for example, Chatzi Nezek Tzroros Hilchsa Gemirila. The Gemara says in Baba Kama that Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, so when an animal is walking and a rock shoots out and damages, so you only pay Chatzi Nezek, even though it's Regel, and Regel always pays Nezek Shalem, only Keren pays Chatzi Nezek, Hilchsa Gemirila. The Gemara says it's Machlokes, whether there's such a din, Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. So you see that it's a Machlokes, so that's dealt with, it's dealt with. But still, to invent, for an Achrum to invent Alech L'Moshe M'Sinai, Keren Ur to come along and say, oh, this must be Alech L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's a little bit much. Not only that, Tefillin is full of Alech L'Moshe M'Sinai. There's tons of Alech L'Moshe M'Sinai by Tefillin. Give me an example of Alech L'Moshe M'Sinai by Tefillin. The blackness of Tefillin. Right, why don't I have, let's say I want to get like a real spitzy pair of tefillin. You know, I'm a Hasidic Rebbe and I like to, so I want to make a gold pair of tefillin. So you can't do that, even though it may look nicer. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, tefillin have to be black. Nothing you could do about that. Tefillin have to be merubos, they have to be square. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Where do we know all this from? It's the next Amud of Gemara. Lamed Hayam and Alfim Menachos. The Gemara essentially runs through the halachas of Moshe M'Sinai of Tefillin, and guess what it doesn't put on the list of the halachas of Moshe M'Sinai of Tefillin? The Seder Parashios. So for the Keren Orah to show up in the 19th century, whatever it was, and say, oh yeah, this is also halachas of Moshe M'Sinai, it's a little hard, it's a little bit difficult to accept that it's halachas of Moshe M'Sinai. So that's difficulty number one. In order to understand Rabbeinu Tamra, Soloveitchik says it's important to understand a Gemara in the next Amud, in Daf Lamed Hei. The Gemara tells us as follows. Amar Abaye, Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. On the list of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is the Shin of Tefillin. What's the Shin of Tefillin? What? I can't hear you. Right, the outside of the bottom of the Shel Rosh, that we have two Shins on either side of the Shel Rosh. That, says the Gemara, is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Says Tosos Dibra Maschel Shin, in the name of Shimusha Rabba, that Ditfilin Tzura Deshin Diamina Gimel Reshei, Udismola Dalid Reshei, V'yapich Leslanba. What's he saying? That the Shin, if you ever look at your Tfilin Shel Rosh, you have one very funny looking Shin. Because one of them has four arms. One shin has just three arms, like a regular shin, like you'd expect a shin to look like, right? Three arms, and the other one has four arms. Says Tosos, yeah, that's from the Shimusha Rabba, and if you get it backwards and get the wrong shin on the wrong side, that's okay as well. Good, so Tefillin Shel Rosh requires two shins. The Rambam counts the two shins amongst the halachos L'Moshe M'Sinai of Tefillin. Even though it doesn't appear, the Gemara just says Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It doesn't tell us about the two shins and that one of them needs to be three armed and the other one four armed. The Rambam says all that's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The Rambam Paragimel Halacha Aleph counts both of the shins on both sides of the Shel Rosh as Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, except he doesn't mention the idea of four arms. He just says that you need it on both sides, Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Fine. What's the idea of a four-armed shin? That's not a shin. Why four arms to the shin?
Four
parashas. Number four is certainly a significant number. It's almost like the Seder, right? And the number four has got to show up. It's got to show up wherever you look. Because there are four parshios in the tefillin, there are four sections in the bottom of the Shel Rosh. But still, it's just not a shin to have four arms. So, Rav Soloveitchik points out that the Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Beis quotes from the Smag as follows. V'kos of b'sifrei hadufus al zeh, the Smag writes, Vania Nakdan Omen Laasos Tfillin, he says, I'm going to try to become an expert in how to make tfillin. Hatam Sheshamati al Beishinin Mishlosha Reshe, Omidalid Reshe. The reason you have two shins, one with three arms, the other with four, Shehu Kneged Beis Ksivos Sheyesh Lanu. Says the Smag, there are two ways that one can write in halacha. There's Ksav Haluchos, and there's Ksav Sefer Torah. What's the difference between the way the letters are formed on the Luchos and the way the letters are formed in a Sefer Torah? And I'm not talking about the font. I'm not talking about Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuris, or anything like that.
Etched
or with ink. Ksav Aluchos is an etching. It's Shoka'as. The even if it weren't through and through, which it was, something you have the difference between something that's embossed or engraved, right? When you engrave something, the writing is deeper in; it's sunken in. Charus al haluchos. Charus al haluchos means it was engraved. So what you essentially have, says the Smag, when you make a shin with four arms, is four arms are protruding out. In between those four arms, you have three arms that are sunken in. So you have a shin, a three-armed shin, but your three-armed shin is Luchos writing as opposed to Sefer Torah writing. Right? Sefer Torah writing is the ink on top of the cloth. So your three-armed shin is just a regular three-armed shin. It all sticks out. All three arms stick out. They all protrude. Your four-armed shin is really three arms that are all sunken in. That's what the Smag says. This isn't a Chassidus Rebbe, it's not a Vart, it's what the Smag says. Ani anaktan, he says, I'm going to be precise, and this is how you make tefillin, this is what it's about, the Smag says. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just make it edged, a normal shin edged in instead of...
Good question. Not sure, but this is what the Smag says. Yeah, I'm not sure why would you do it that way. And also, is it really connected on the bottom that way? Meaning it's... It doesn't seem to really be a perfect shin then. And there's discussion in the postman, should you be careful about like the top of the arms of the shin? Like over here, make sure that they don't get too close to each other, because then your shin is going to, your sunken in shin is going to be messed up. Okay, but that's what the Smag says. Yeah.
I was going to say, it is interesting though, because shin would be the only letter where if you carve in like that, you could read it two ways, as either the part that's,
no other letter would have that same symmetry.
Yeah,
you're saying,
yeah,
yeah. Right. And that's the way it works out. So essentially, the regular shin, like we said, is the shin of ksav of Torah, and the forearm shin is a shin of ksav haluchos. Right. That's step one. Says Rav Soloveitchik further. There are two inyanim. There are two elements of Matan Torah. There's Maimon Har Sinai, and there's Kabbalas HaTorah. And each one is a little bit different. Bris Sinai, and the completion of the Gerus of Bnei Yisrael, happens at Maimon Har Sinai before Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the entire Torah. The Ramban writes on Chumash, Shmos Peruch Avdalit, V'inei ha-parshios kulon ba'os kohogen, ki achar matan Torah miyad bo bayom, Omer Hashem el Moshe. Right after matan Torah, Hashem says to Moshe, ko samar el b'nei Yisrael. V'inei maisa bris b'yom ha-machras l'matan Torah. And the bris, the covenant, was finalized after matan Torah. Ubo haisa aliyah shalom Moshe lahar, umimena nesakif shamar ba'im yom. And that's when Moshe went up the mountain and he stayed there for an additional 40 days. So now, says Rav Soloveitchik, the gerus bishlei Musa is tali in our full gerus of becoming full-fledged Jews was tali in Kabbalas ol mitzvos. And even though at Maimon Har Sinai we had Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, we didn't yet have all of the mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up and get all of the mitzvahs. So that only happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was Ala Lamarum for 40 days, to be Mekabel all the details. So the complete Gerus that Klal Yisrael has to be after Maimon Har Sinai to juxtapose it with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the next day to juxtapose it with Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai. Now, bringing it back to the shin, says Rav Soloveitchik. The two shins of the Shalrosh are Mechavein two types of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. The shin that's charus ala luchos is supposed to be reminiscent of Maimed Har Sinai, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Now keep in mind, what did he just say? Maimed Har Sinai happens before there's any Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. So if you have a luchos shin, what you're trying to express is Maimed Har Sinai, not Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, yes. Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, not yet. The shin of the Torah, the shin of the Ksav Shel Torah represents Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. That's the shin of the Torah. When did we get that? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Lamarim for 40 days. Those two Kabbalos, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, combine to create Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim Shlema, this complete connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, now I understand, Rabbeinu Tam. The order of the Parshios, says Rav Soloveitchik, of course, is the order that it appears in Chumash. The order should be the order that it appears in Chumash. According to Rashi, there's just one Chalos Shem of Dalet Parshios. So the Dalet Parshios start Mehechel ad Asof, from the Mitchil ad Asof, from beginning to end, and it goes in order. And therefore, we put it in exactly that order. We begin with the first and we end with the last. But Rabbeinu Tam would tell us that there are two sets of Parshios. There's the Shemos set of Parshios, which is what? Kadesh Li V'Hayu Ki V'Yacha. That's one unit. And then there's the Dvarim set of Parshios, the Mishnah Torah set of Parshios, which is Shema V'Hayim Shemoa. Unit number two. Each of those units, each of those sets, has to go in order. But each one has a different starting point. Why does each one have a different starting point? The Seder of Parshios, of the Parshios of Shemos, begins Miyamin HaKore, from the right side of the guy looking at you, from Kadesh Li, and then to Vahiyu Ki V'Yacha. The Seder of the Parshios of Devarim is Miyamin, also Miyamin, right? But Miyamin HaManiach, right? Parshios 3 and 4 is in order. It's order of 3 and 4, right to left. But right to left for who? For the Maniach, not for the Kore. Need something? Right to left of the Maniach. Why would it be right to left of the Maniach? So here's where he puts it all together. It's unbelievable. He says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the two sets of Parshios represent two elements of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. There is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Yetzias Mitzrayim reflects a certain sense of recognition of God in this world. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, how does God introduce himself? Right? Rabbi Friedman spoke about it on Shabbos. And in the Aseret Dibros as well. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of God who took us out of Mitzrayim. That's what Shemos is about. It's in fact what the whole book of Shemos is about. Is God taking us out of Mitzrayim and becoming someone who has a direct relationship with us as a result of taking us out of Mitzrayim. Kadesh. In the parsha of Kadesh, V'ahayu lecha la'os al yadecha l'zikaron b'neinecha l'mantia toras Hashem b'ficha. What are the next words? Ki biyad chazaka hotziyacha Hashem mi'mitzrayim. The parsha of Kadesh highlights Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'ahayu ki v'yacha. In the parsha, V'ahayu ki v'yacha. V'ahayu la'os al yadecha l'totofos b'neinecha ki B'chozik yad hotzianu Hashem mi'mitzrayim. Again, highlighting Yetzias Mitzrayim in both Parshios that appear in Sefer Shemos. The Parshios in Sefer Devarim, also Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Right? Certainly Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. They never mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. just Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Yichud Hashem, Kabbalah Samitzvos. What are those parshios? They're the first two parshios of Kriya Shema. Why is it that we have a third parsha of Kriya Shema, a parsha of Tzitzis that we say at night? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Harei Ani Kiven Shem Shana, Lo Zuchisi, Shetam Yitzias Mitzrayim, Leil Sa, Shadar Shem Ben Zoma. It's all for Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not for the Tzitzis. Why do I need Yitzias Mitzrayim in the third parsha? Because I don't have it in the first two. Shema and Vayim Shema don't have Yitzias Mitzrayim. They have Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, Kabbalah Mitzvos. But there is no Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says of Salvation. So what we essentially have, what he set up for us is that the first two parshios is a Kabbalah Samach Shemayim that relates specifically to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The second two parshios, which we're going to start reading from the other side, from the Yamin HaManiach, the private guy who's putting on his own tefillin, relates to Kabbalah Samach Shemayim that has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. They both start from the right side. Just one is the right side of outsiders looking at you, and one is the right side of you, a private individual who's putting on, individual who's putting on your own tefillin. Which of the two elements of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, the one that highlights Yitzias Mitzrayim, or the one that's just pure Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, is one that is a public type of statement, is one that you would be mefarsim? Yitzias Mitzrayim is something where we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Persume Nisa. We're always mefarsim Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's mistaver that the Parshios of Shemos, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is going to be an os for other people. It's going to be a sign for a korei, for someone who's looking at you. The Brisa says in Menachas Lamed Hei, V'ra'u kal amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. Elu tefillin shebarosh. That tefillin shebarosh are supposed to be a public symbol that people look at. But which part of tefillin shebarosh are that public symbol? It's the Yitzias Mitzrayim part. But Sheman Vayim Shemoa is Yichud Hashem. It's Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. It's an Avodas Hashem that's personal to me. I'm putting tefillin on as a servant of Hashem. It's lecha le'os v'lo la'acherim. So it begins miyamin hamaniach. And just to bring it all together, he points out, the two shins, the shin of the luchos and the shin of the Torah, relates to these two orders. The pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher otzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avadim. That's a Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where was that pasuk written? Initially? On? Come on, you know this one. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hey, you got it right there, right? That's a Luchos pasuk. On the Luchos, Hashem introduces himself as, I am the Yitzias Mitzrayim guy. So when you're talking Yitzias Mitzrayim, you're going to start reading from right to left, klape the person who's looking at you because of the Persume Nisa, and it's going to start from the four-legged shin. Because that's a Luchos ksav. The Luchos is the Yitzias Mitzrayim. The shin of the Torah is symbolic of Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim, which is, relates to all mitzvos. That relates to Moshe Rabbeinu going up for 40 days and getting all the details and getting all the mitzvos. That shin relates to Shema V'Hayayim Shema. That's the broader Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos. It's magnificent, no? Like, how does one think of something like this? One doesn't. Salvechik does. It's mamash working in different directions. They're each working off of, yeah.
It's like the idea that you're not supposed to have, it's not supposed to be two, like the two O's, like one O's for him, one O's for the other guy. It's like the Gemara right before what we just read today said, like at least one person said, they're not supposed to be different. You're supposed to have what you have on the outside and you do on the inside. So it's and he's saying it's like two different O's. Except for him, it's one O's. For me, it's a different O's.
It's two different emphases of Kabbalah Samach Shemai. These are Tzvei Dinim within Kabbalah Samach Shemai. Yeah.
Didn't we say something? I don't know who it was before, but someone said before that if you switch a shins, then it's not.
So the Smag had said if you switch them, it's not a big deal. It's even a discussion in the postkim. He quotes over here that Rov postkim hold that the three armed shin is miyamin hameniach, is on the right side of the meniach, which works really well, right? And the shin that's four-armed is miyamin hakore, and that, as Rabbi Kahn writes, hakol mechuvar kesimla, that's beautiful, the shin of the luchas, etc. But all that's Rabbi Natan. According to Rashi, all four are one unit, and they're all mitzaref to an os for achir. It's all about an os for achir. So it's all miyamin hakore. Where do we have the os for ourselves? That's in Tefillin Shel Yad, the Gemara Menachos Lamed Zayin. Vayilachala os, lachala os, lachayim los. The minig is we cover the Shel Yad. That's a more private. Vero kalavi aretz kesh Hashem Hashem nikra lechay l'tefillin shel berosh. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is the public, the public wearing of Tefillin, and the Shel Yad is the private wearing of Tefillin. Now it turns out, though, what would you say? What would Rabbeinu Tam say about the order of the parshios in the Shel Yad? L'chora, according to this whole idea, right? Shel Yad is l'chalos v'lo l'achirim los, and therefore there would be no and there are no shins on the Shel Yad. You're not flanked by two shins, so it seems that in the Shel Yad we're sort of ignoring the Yitzias Mitzrayim Kabbalah Zalmach Shemayim, the one that we're trying to publicize, the one that we're trying to present. And therefore, logically, there would be a pretty compelling argument to be made, if this is all correct, that Shel Yad should be Rashi's Shel Yad. Right? That it should be in the order of Rashi. It happens to be a Machlokas Rishonim within Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. What does Rabbeinu Tam hold about the Shel Yad? Some Rishonim actually hold that Rabbeinu Tam's Seder HaParshios is only for the Shel Rosh, and that by the Shel Yad he agrees with Rashi. Rishonim actually say this way. Well, people who have Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin don't have like that. Right? They write it Kisidron. They write Parsha 1, 2, skip, and the Shel Yad, I assume everyone's aware, the Shel Yad is not written on four separate pieces of cloth. It's one long thing, right? So what they'll do when they write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is they'll write Kadesh Vayikiviyacha Shema Vahayim Shemoa. So they'll skip to the end and write Shema, leaving a blank space for Vayim Shema afterwards. So they'll write it Kesidran, but the way it presents itself when you open it up and you read it is Keshitas Rabbeinu Tam, Kesedra Rabbeinu Tam. But not everybody agrees with that. The Smak in Simon Kufna Nun Gimel says that Rabbeinu Tam is only, the order of Rabbeinu Tam is only by Tefillin Shel Rosh, not by Tefillin Shel Yad. Many other Rishonim say that no, Rabbeinu Tam would argue about Tefillin Shel Yad as well. So Salvechik says, Tzarich Iyun B'Divrehem. It's a Tzarich Iyun on all those other Rishonim that think Rabbeinu Tam argues even on the Shel Yad, because L'chora, there is no Metzius of Seder HaParshios in the Shel Yad, because all the Parshios are in one bias. So he says, Al Korchenu Sharishonim Achol Kmal Smak Sovrim She Seder Parshios Rabbeinu Tam Misyaches L'Mekoman Shel HaParshios Beklaf. Okay, that's just a separate issue, that it's on that the Seder Parshios relates to the Klaf. But that point, L'chor, that Machlokas Rishonim is very relevant to this idea of Rav Soloveitchik. So before we got into, see, now I only have 5 minutes left to get into the technicalities of all the kashas and nashas. Yeah. It's rolled. In the Shel Rosh, we should really have like a tefillin guy come in here, right? Maybe, does anyone know anyone local? Is there like a someone on that block we were on yesterday? There's got to be someone there. That guy we were talking to, so he would know, right? there's but the way in the Shel Rosh, it's folded, and it's, you know, they're made into squares and they're stuck into the little compartments. In the shalyad, it's rolled. So it's one long piece of cloth that's rolled together. It's actually machlokas by the shalrosh, whether the parsha should be standing up or, you know, which direction they should be facing.
I was going to ask that also for the shalyad, maybe it's on the side or it's like...
Yeah, so this is a machlokas. This is, in fact, you know, we're going to get back to this next week, but one of the questions, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked for Moshe Feinstein why he doesn't wear a Bein HaTam tefillin, you're aware of this? Lubavitcher Rebbe like wasn't happy that Moshe, you know, you're a Moshe, how could you not wear a Bein HaTam tefillin? What's wrong with you? I mean, he didn't say it like that, but like, how could you not wear a Bein HaTam tefillin? So one of the points that was made is that the Gra didn't wear a Bein HaTam tefillin because the Gra said, you're right, it's a great idea to be machmir for as many shitos as you can, but if you want to be machmir for every shita about tefillin, this is quoted in one of the svarim in the Sefer Kesa Rosh. The Gra said, if you want to be machmir for every shita in tefillin, you would need 64 pairs of tefillin. Because it's not just Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Because first of all, there are actually four shitos. There's Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, you saw in the Ravid, he quoted Rav Haigon, and there's potentially what Achronim quote from the Shemusha Rabbah, even though some versions of the Shemusha Rabbah actually conform to one of the first three. We'll get into that next week. But there's potentially a fourth of Shemusha Rabbah as well. So you have those four. And then you also have a machlokas, whether they should be standing up or lying down, the parshios. So that would be eight, because each of the four you would need, right? You need standing up and lying down. Then you have a machlokas, how to write the parshios in terms of the psuchos and the stumos, in terms of you know, leaving spaces. So now you need 16. Then you have machlokas, how to make the ink in the parshios. So that would be 32, missing one. There's a machlokas whether you write b'makom seyar or b'makom basar, meaning which side of the cloth you write on. So now you need 64. So the Gra says, I'm not buying 64 pairs of tefillin. You know, others obviously would say, you don't have to be choshesh for every das yachid, but like Rabbeinu Tam is a significant shita. You should be choshesh for the significant shitas. So God willing, we'll discuss that next week. So I guess maybe we'll discuss everything next week. I just wanted to share with you that beautiful piece from Rav Soloveitchik. I'm not going to be here the next few days. I'll leave this sefer by my makom, so if anyone wants to look over that piece, you'll have the opportunity to do so. It's Siman Aleph. It's the very first city. So I'll leave it by my mouth and clear if you want to take a look.
Did you tell not to any of the reasons why you